ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I rode with him. I know what an idiot this guy is.
Pedro Fernandez.
Hey, Pedro, how you doing? And good evening to everybody out there listening to the show.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports bylaw studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide in WBC TV. Often imitated, but never duplicated. 37, make that 38 plus years now of being on top. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think capital. Straight up, I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, so I know something about boxing, and I've won some awards for my boxing writing. So supposedly, I know a little bit about boxing, but guess what? The average fan, especially on fight day, knows a little bit more. And of course, this is big fight day. This is the fight of the year, no doubt about it. Two undefeated guys going at it. 168-pound world champion, the pound-for-pound king. Canelo Alvarez, the loser one time, of course, to Floyd Mayweather, back when he was greener than guacamole, but straight up, the Mexican superstar, of course, tonight, taking on Caleb Plant, an undefeated American. Talks a good game. He's got people like Victor Conti in his corner. We want to wish him the very best of luck, but guess what? It's only a matter of time before either Caleb Plant is going to pull off the biggest upset in boxing history, or he's going to be a footnote in boxing history. I'm betting he becomes a footnote in boxing history. We'll spend some time today with the boxing's PhD, of course, Socrates Palmer Jr. Spend some time with him. And I've got the open phone lines I'll throw up here at the top of the hour just once. If you want to impart, you can. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's all kinds of boxing news to talk about, including Jake Paul. And why do I want to mention Jake Paul? Because he sells tickets. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Stick around after the break. We're back with boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. The reason why I bring that one up is that a young man got knocked out last week, and of course he's Socrates Palmer's guy, so we want to bring it up right away. Joshua Vargas, I'm telling you, if he shaves off the beard, nobody will ever know it was him. Seriously, he's got to shave off that beard. What was he trying to look like, Muslim, or what was that beard thing?
I don't know, man. These kids, that's the style. It's like Adrian Broner, a bunch of guys rocking beards. It's like that, I think the rapper made it popular, Rick Ross. You know, that big beard, very popular in Philly. I don't know. To me, it gives someone a good target, right?
Okay. Jose Cepeda, I guess he didn't become 34 or 36 and 2 for nothing, huh?
No, man. I was very high in Cepeda, you know. Even, you know, before this fight, I really believe he's, you know, in the handful, maybe third best 140 pounders, Josh Taylor, Ramirez, Regis Prograis. He's in that mix, you know. I know he's not the prettiest of fighters. He's not slick, but the guy brings it. And you look at his resume, he's been in there with some top guys so far. I mean, Pedraza, Ramirez, he could punch, and he's never in a boring fight. You know, that's one thing. He's good for TV, and hopefully a title shot is in his future for 2022. He deserves it.
Jaron Ennis, your boy from Philly, another guy from Philly. Were you pleased with his performance?
You know what? He did something that hadn't been done. He annihilated Delorme. Delorme is pretty limited, but durable.
Durable, exactly.
He's certainly not, in the best of shapes in terms of his career. He's certainly on the other end, on the back nine, so to speak. But nevertheless, a world-class fighter and he was taken care of. Jaron Ennis is slowly but surely, getting in that conversation of, okay, is he the most avoided? I don't know. We don't know yet. He hasn't really beat a full-fledged welterweight, but the kid could crack and he comes from good stock, a fighting family. I always put, merit into that. And, he's from Philly. So he carries that pride of being a Philadelphia fighter.
Okay. So we are just hours away, of course, from the so-called fight of the year, an undefeated challenger, a WBA title holder. I'm talking about Caleb Plant, of course, an American. Good record, but when you look at the guys he's fought, none of them are going to be in the Boxing Hall of Fame. Then again, you've got the guy on the flip side. I'm talking about the A side of the record. Canelo Alvarez, once beaten, lost to Floyd Mayweather back in the days when he was greener than guacamole. But straight up, he's come a long way. He's at a point in time where he's like a 3-1 favorite, according to the Las Vegas sportsbooks. Some other sportsbooks have him larger than that. Now, Socrates, if you were to throw some money down on this one, where would it go and why?
It's like people that invest in Tesla and people that invest in Microsoft. I mean, it's any Fortune 500 company, it's really hard to beat the market. And the same thing when it comes to boxing. I mean, upsets, are very rare, you get an even fight and then you say to yourself, was it really an upset? But this would be a monster upset. I can't see how anybody really looking at it objectively could pick Caleb Plant. I just don't see anything that Caleb Plant brings that Canelo Alvarez can't handle. Alvarez has steadily improved. His body's still fresh. He's never been in a real war. I mean, the fights with Golovkin were competitive, but, no one was cut open. No one was dropped. It wasn't Gatti Ward. He's still fresh after and remarkable. He's going after his 60th win. I know Plant does some things, that may keep him in the fight early on, but unless he's able to establish respect in the first two or three rounds, Canelo's going to walk him down and bust him up the way he's done to the other big fighters that he's fought the last couple of years. Kovalev, Fielding, Callum Smith. I just don't see Caleb Plant being a great fighter. He's a good fighter, but to beat Canelo, you got to be great. And I just don't see greatness in Caleb Plant.
And he's got to hurt him, right? I mean, he's got to go out there and make a statement right away.
Absolutely. He's got to get his respect. I mean, he was talking a lot of tough stuff in the press conference. The guys came to, they had some love taps that led to a little scratch under his eye. Let's see if the best of Caleb Plant was not in the press conference. Okay. Let's see if he brings something into the ring.
Let me run this one at you. Victor Conti's involved. And Victor Conti, of course, the guy that rigged the 2000 Olympics with Marion Jones. And I've had some dealings with him. I work with him. I've taken his products. I think his products are through the roof, man. I mean, ZMA and that kind of, Victor's got some good products going on. But Victor's got this little shadow behind him because he rigged the 2000 Olympics and he was a convicted felon. He went to jail for rigging the Olympics, and Marion Jones had her gold medals taken away and things like that. Is he in the right place? Is boxing the right place for him? I mean, is it like the red light district of sports? Is that the right place for Victor Conti?
Hey, even up until his death, worse people than him were involved in boxing. Panama Lewis, I guess so. Everyone deserves a second chance. I mean, Victor will have that scarlet letter the rest of his life. He also had Barry Bonds, Shane Mosley. He's had some pretty famous juicers, that have tried his products.
Well, Shane Mosley, I've seen taped depositions of Victor Conti versus Shane Mosley, and Shane Mosley said, yeah, I asked Victor for steroids and this and that, and yeah, he gave me steroids and this and that. I mean, whoa. It's like, whoa, not too many people knew that, but yeah, Mosley admitted that. Of course, he was prepping for the second Oscar De La Hoya fight at 154 pounds, so I guess he had to put on some weight. But, you know, his products, I will say this, man, his products are through the roof, and Victor, of course, has been... He's controversial. You know what? You know what I think Victor's really great thing was in life? It wasn't doing anything to his sports. He was a Tower of Power bass player at one point in time. He played bass for the Tower of Power, and he took over for Rocco Presti. He was probably one of the greatest bass players, according to Rolling Stone magazine, in the history of the music. But he took over for Rocco for a couple of years, and Victor was a bad dude on the bass, man.
You know what? I know that dabbled in music. I know that he was part of the band. I would be lying if I said I knew his catalog.
I'm not saying he has a catalog. I'm saying the two albums he did with Tower of Power, there was some good bass work on that, and he had to follow a legend. I mean, it's sort of like it's hard to explain Rocco Presti to anybody that doesn't know. Anyway, bottom line is you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, tonight, November 6, 2021, live on pay-per-view. Come to us from the Las Vegas T-Mobile Arena, of course. Canelo Alvarez, a once-beaten Mexican superstar. Of course, that one loss to Floyd Mayweather back a long, long time ago. He takes on Caleb Plant, an undefeated lad. Of course, coming to us from this side of the pond. Usually, Canelo's fighting guys from the other side of the pond. Now, this time, he's fighting an American. When you look at the end of the day, Caleb Plant talks a good game. This is good it's good for the pay-per-view and this and that. I mean, because if he didn't say nothing, it would just be another Canelo walk in the park, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and I still think people see this as just Caleb Plant being a footnote. He got under Canelo's skin. He brought up the steroid allegations. He basically said that the reason this fight took so long was Canelo being a diva, and Canelo had enough, and they came to, they got into a little scrap a few months back, which did great for the promotion.
But if you're going to be calling somebody out on steroids and you're hanging with Victor Conti, I mean, it's sort of funny.
Yeah.
Just sort of funny there.
That is the pot calling the kettle black, yes. And then yesterday how he looked at the weigh-in, he's got wings that it looks like, his lats look like he's ready for, Mr. Olympia, but boxing is a lot more than muscle, brother. You know that, more than I do. And the biggest muscle KO Plant's going to have to utilize, it's what's, behind his ribs, his heart, his, what's in there, does he want to be a footnote or does he have something in him to do something special, something that no one other than, his loved ones and I'm sure his management, Louis the Cubist, think that he can do, it's put up or shut up.
Louis, let's talk about Louis just for a second. Louis was he handled Duran. He brought the Duran comeback, with Barkley and this kind of stuff. He was with Duran and Hagler and this and him and Mike Hickory. That was Louis de Cuba Sr. Of course, his son now, Junior, is doing his thing. Both these guys are rock and rolling. They had the Cuban Ubi Ergas, of course, that he upset Manny Pacquiao about a month ago. So straight up, those guys are in a good spot. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide with Socrates Palmer. My name is Pedro Fernandez. After the break, we're going to the depth, of course, on, guess who? Robert Garcia losing, guess who? Virgil Ortiz. Virgil Ortiz, I think, is the heir apparent to greatness in boxing. More on Ring Talk Live Worldwide after the break.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Town, Tower of Power. Check them out, towerofpower.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 37, make that 38 plus years now. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Of course, I am the original podcast. We started doing the internet thing back in 1992. First show on the internet, of course, the first show to come you live from the People's Republic of China back in 1993. Of course, we did the Brawl at the Wall that was on TV, but straight up, this show's been around. If you're new to the mix, I welcome you to the show. If you've been here a while, you know what time it is. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Take it, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA, of course. Lots of stuff to talk about. Teofimo Lopez, the world lightweight champion in the news. Of course, Socrates Palmer on the line from the Bronx. Why is Teofimo just talking and not fighting?
Well, he's got a new date. You know, finally, fingers crossed, November 27th against George Kambosos. And, you know, Teofimo's never been shy. You know, he's never been shy in front of a microphone. And that's how he got the Lomachenko fight. Pretty much during a time when people thought that he was biting off a little bit more than he could chew. You know, he was calling him out for, you know, I would say about 2 years before the fight was actually made. So Teofimo is not shy. He's not shy. And, you know, the Kambosos fight coming up, it's no secret. It had trouble selling tickets. And, I don't think him and Top Rank, although they re-upped, you know, I don't think they're at the, you know, their relationship is what it once was. So, you know, he's out there selling his fight, you know.
You do realize that this fight, George Kambosos and Teofimo Lopez will end up in the Guinness Book of World Records if they have a category for fights postponed the most times.
You know,
six times.
Amazing.
Six.
Yeah. Yeah.
Six.
Okay. Six times.
Yeah. So anyway, they're going to rock and roll. Lopez supposed to roll through him. Lopez was talking about 140 pounds. If Lopez was the real deal at 140, wouldn't he be talking like cleaning up guys at 135, like Devin Haney was going to take on Jojo Diaz. Looks like that's going to go down in December.
Yeah. I mean, it would be a disappointment if he doesn't fight, one of those other big names at lightweight. But then again,
Ryan Garcia. Well, you know, everybody's getting on me because I'm still a Ryan fan. You know, Ryan broke his hand. He got some wrist problems, this and that. Ryan's got some problems above the shoulders, between the ears. We all have problems above the shoulders and between the ears. And as far as anxiety is concerned, we hope the very best for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Ryan Garcia is a polarizing figure. You know, he's someone that's easy to root for if you're a teenager and you happen to be a female. He's also someone that's easy to dislike, you know, because of, you know, he loves attention. You know, he is what a lot of people wish they were. He's a good looking kid. He's tall. He's got money, you know,
girls.
And he's got some fame. Yeah. Yeah. So he's easy to hate on. You know, let's face it. You know, Devin Haney, you know, privately wishes he could trade places with Ryan Garcia, you know, even though he thinks he's a better fighter. Let's just say that. I would probably give Devin Haney a little bit of an edge. I think he's a little bit more polished. But with all that said, he would trade places with Ryan Garcia in a heartbeat. You know, he's never going to be the attraction Ryan Garcia is in or out of the ring.
One of boxing's insiders who was privy to the show told me that he thinks that Devin Haney's a gym fighter. And that his father is obstructing his progress as far as boxing's concerned.
Well, you know what? There could be some truth to it. But then again, I mean, he's still a young fighter. You know, he had a big step up, you know, against Jorge Linares, showed some flaws, you know, and survived.
But he's 34 years old. I mean, here
he comes up. Well, he's still a lot better than all the other hobos he fought.
Okay, so what you're trying to tell me then, he is totally unproven.
Not totally, but he actually proved more surviving, you know, him get, you know, doing the stinky leg in that fight against
Yuri Gamboa,
Linares, and he has his wins, okay. You know, because let's face it, he hasn't really fought anyone of merit, and you know, the WBC, he's recognized as a champion, but I still think the book is out. You know, you still have to do a little bit more in my estimation.
So Robert,
but he's got talent.
So Robert Garcia has been booted out of the Virgil Ortiz camp.
Yeah, Yeah, that's probably the second biggest news of the week, outside of tonight's huge fight. Apparently, you know, the Ortizes took some, you know, they felt slighted. You know, the last time, you know, Ortiz was in the ring was against the Mean Machine in Texas, and Robert was not in the corner. You know, they sent his father. His father did the fight.
And I know it was on. Robert was doing another date somewhere else. They tried to do.
Yeah.
They tried to get. Listen, here's what's up. If Robert really wanted to get down, if Robert really wanted to be a pimp per se, he would have had a private plane waiting for him, and would have taken him from point A to point B. Because I know guys. I know. No, don't laugh. I know a couple of trainers that have done that. Wrestlers, especially. I know wrestlers that wrestled in one area of a state. Got in a private plane that they rented and went down and wrestled in the other part of the state. One guy's wrestled in Reno, and the same day went down and wrestled in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, if he had the means, you know, that would have been something. He had his other fighter, Joshua Franco, who fought the rematch against the Australian fighter, Maloney. He thought that was a much more – he thought that Franco needed him more than Ortiz because he was the underdog. But still – you have to, I mean, Robert, I've always liked him. Very personable guy. But you got to take care of the guy who's going to be the superstar.
No, that is. You know? That is. No, right. He is going to be the super. I mean, I really think he's knocking on the door. I think he's got all the tools. I think he's Mexican-American, which means he's going to be able to grab from both demographics. He's going to be able to go across the border and get people from across the border to watch him. I think he's going to become the biggest star since Canelo Alvarez if he continues on the path that he's on. I think he's got all of his fights are all knockout wins inside the distance, correct?
Yeah, 18 wins, 18 knockouts. People love the knockout. And it's funny that you mentioned that you see him as the next Canelo Alvarez because lo and behold, everyone says he's training with Eddie Reynoso, you know? So now this would be the third high profile trainer he's had. Mm-hmm. I mean, his dad does most of the work, you know, and you know, for most fight fans, the fighters that have these celebrity trainers, you know, high profile guys like Freddie Roach, and the great Emmanuel Stewart, RIP, there is someone else that's working with these guys, you know, for weeks on end. And then the high profile guys come in kind of like the last 2 weeks to kind of just work on strategy and touch things up. So I think this is the case with Ortiz. His father, who has brought him up from day one, has always been in his corner. His first trainer, he had Joel Diaz, who's a really good trainer in his own right.
Yeah.
Before he jumped to Robert.
Ray Arcel would come in the last couple of weeks. Freddie Brown would do the entire Roberto Duran camp. It was Freddie Brown that went down to Panama, not Ray Arcel. Now, one more thing. Spence and Virgil Ortiz, they're supposed to hook it up. Spence and Terrence Crawford really would have been the fight. But Terrence Crawford wouldn't want to, like, split the money. Is Terrence Crawford afraid deep down? He doesn't seem to be wanting to step across that line to greatness.
I don't think he's afraid. I think he's got a little bit of diva in him, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, if you have that right to be, you know, I mean, Terrence is for the last couple of years, he's in that mix of the best pound for pound fighters. And he's got a real tough fight coming up against Sean Porter. That's the fight that everyone wants to see. You know, Spence and Crawford, they're both in their prime. Instead, it looks like Ortiz is going to be the one that challenges Spence, and Crawford and Spence is going to be maybe, unfortunately, in that what if, you know, legacy of fights that never happened.
Somebody just shot me a text real quick. If Louis DeCubas and his company pull off this upset tonight, wow. I mean, because they'll be rocking boxing.
Manager of the year.
Yeah, and then, of course, they upset Manny Pacquiao already with Udi Urgas. So, bottom line is, they are an amazing team. We wish them the very best of luck, but they've got an uphill climb, no doubt about that. Sock, say hello to Sebastian for me and the rest of the crew, and we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me on. Canelo by knockout.
The great Socrates Palmer, boxing's PhD, live and exclusively on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. More Ring Talk after the break.
I'll be running. You going to run tomorrow morning?
Yeah, 5:30.
Sunday. I'm leaving tomorrow at 10. I'll run with you tomorrow morning.
Okay, babe. Okay.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
He is the greatest fighter of all times next to me.
When Muhammad Ali says that about you, what can I say? You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA, of course. Jake Paul's going to take on Tommy Fury. Tommy Fury's related, of course, to Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury's the world heavyweight champion. I want to give Jake Paul all the props in the world because he sold 14,200 tickets, I think, for that last gig he had in Atlanta, Georgia. Any fighter, anybody, any personality that can sell 14,000 tickets and put that many butts in the seats and then give $1 million to the undercard. He gave $1 million to the undercard. Now, get this. Maybe there is 7 fights in the undercard. They get to split up $1 million amongst those people. That's pretty good pay, no doubt about that. So my hat's off to Jake Paul, and we wish him the very best of luck. I don't think he's the greatest boxer in the world. I think he can get lit up by, I wouldn't say Clarissa Shields beats him. That would be a little bit too cold, but Clarissa wants a piece of him, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, this is the Saturday edition. Saturday, coming to you this a few hours before Canelo Alvarez takes on Caleb Plant. Of course, coming to you from Las Vegas for Showtime pay-per-view, something like that. Of course, if you want to watch this fight, you will have to purchase it on the pay-per-view channel or go to a sports bar. Or maybe you know somebody that's got it. Or maybe you like Socrates Palmer. Sock says he looks out his window into another window and sees somebody else watch it on their television, and he watches the fight their way. So he doesn't pay the pay-per-view per se, not all the time anyway. Bottom line is, watch this fight tonight. I think it'll be an expression of boxing's real side. In other words, you've got a guy that's really coming to fight. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Caleb Plant is coming to win. He's going to try to win. When a guy wants to win, you can't really cut him short or sell him short. But then again, on the other side of the coin, you've got a guy that's like a dinosaur in age, per se, because he started fighting at the age of 16, and he can get old at any given time, but just not this given time. It's not going to happen right now. This is night to night that Canelo Alvarez folds like a cheap pup tent. It's not going to happen. No way, no how. So what I'm going to try to tell you is, if you are a betting person, 3-1 is not that bad for Canelo Alvarez over Caleb Plant. This is the way I look at it, no doubt about that. Now, the world of UFC, not a big UFC fan of late, because you know the fact that me and Dana White, I don't like Dana White. I think he's the biggest pimp in the world of, I mean, come on, man. When you've got hoes, and I'll call his fighters hoes because that's the way I think he treats them to an extent, and you're a pimp, and you're only giving them 10 to 15 cents on the dollar. In other words, the girl's going out there making $100. She makes $100 for you. Comes back with $100, and you give her 12 bucks? 15 bucks? Even if you give her 18 bucks, is that enough? Probably not in the world of fair play. Anyway, in the world of combat sports, these guys, it's not the same. In other words, you take one of these lickings like Brian Ortega. I talked about that. The beating he took from Max Holloway a few years ago. I said he would never recover from it. I said he would never... he never recovered from it. You saw what happened to him against Volkanovski, the 145-pound champion, just a few weeks ago. I mean, he lost every round, one round by 2 points. At one point in time, he was so good. Yikes, he was so good. I'm talking about Brian Ortega, like unbeaten. Of course, he had that one steroid fight, but that was taken away from him when he tested positive for some banned substance. But outside of that, I mean, he was just had a sterling record. And then they put him in this fight with Max Holloway, and they let him take a beating for way, way, way too long. The corner let him take a beating. Shame on those guys. They should be arrested for impersonating cornermen, trainers, and looking out for their fighter. And of course, then there's a doctor. He failed. Maybe he should turn in his medical license. He let this guy take like 10 minutes of beating when he had no response. And then, of course, the referee. What was he doing? Reading the Sunday paper like one of those wrestling referees on big time or a WWE wrestling when the referee sees the brass knuckles and makes like he doesn't see them? I mean, come on, man. All these departments failed Brian Ortega. Therefore, I think it ruined Brian Ortega. And I said to you, I've talked about it on the air, that he never really looked the same in videotapes afterwards. I mean, when I looked at him, it just wasn't the same. In other words, I'm not trying to say he was damaged from the fight. I'm saying there was a distinct difference in his persona before and after the fight. Now, maybe the loss had a lot to do with it, but I just think the beating had a lot to do with it. I just think guys just don't recover from beatings like that. And in my case in point, I don't think that this young man is going to recover for a long time. Anyway, Jan Blachowicz, I want to mention this. Jan Blachowicz, I think, is the UFC light heavyweight champion. Yes, he is 205 pounds, of course. He couldn't beat John Jones or any of those guys that were really good at
205 pounds. He got beat by Glover Teixeira. Glover Teixeira, I thought, was a hot guy against John Jones maybe 4 or 5 years ago, but he was so long in the tooth. Glover was coming to us from Brazil that I figured he was just another opponent up here. But Jay Blachowicz lost his fight, a submission rear naked choke in the second round. Peter Yan was the winner over Corey Sandhagen. Corey Sandhagen, a guy that was entertaining, but, you know, when you take punishment in these type of fights, it just ain't the same. It's not the same. Now, what I'm trying to say is boxing safe? No, I'm not trying to say boxing safe. What I'm trying to say is that the punishment is a lot less. Anyway, back to tonight's UFC. Of course, UFC rocking and rolling tonight. Where are they anyway? Where are they coming to us tonight from Madison Square Garden? Of course, Kobe Covington. Oh, my God. Donald Trump's guy. And Donald Trump will probably be there because that's Donald Trump's favorite fighter. Why is it Donald Trump's favorite fighter? Because he's a racist. You know, much like the news that you hear on this network as we approach in between each show and before and after each hour of Ring Talk Live War, the news is so biased and racist and prejudice and propaganda, all that kind of good stuff. You just have police. I hope that you dismiss that and don't take any of that stuff seriously. But Kobe Covington, he's got a big mouth. He talks a good game. He's Donald Trump's guy. And, of course, he's going to hook it up tonight against Kamaru Usman. This is a rematch. Of course, Usman is probably going to drill him like a hammer does a nail. I mean, that's just the way it is. I think Kamaru Usman is on top of his game right now, the world welterweight champion, 170 pounds. Can he fight at 185 or upwards? I'm talking about Kobe Covington. Probably not. I think this is his ideal weight. He should be at 170, and 170, I think, is going to be a swan song because this will be the end of Kobe Covington's serious career as far as a serious fighter. Usman's going to retire him tonight, probably with a submission or a beatdown in 3 or 4 rounds. I can see this going a bit, but I can't see Kobe Covington winning. But then again, in the world of mixed martial arts, anything can happen because there's so many ways to win and so many ways to lose that anything's possible. Straight up, I don't see it happening that way. Anyway, the champion at 115 pounds, my girl, Rose Nahumanis. Of course, the girl that was thrown in and she won the title and she upset Dana White, and then they threw her in a fight where she was going to lose and this and that. And you know, anyway, she kept winning. I want to give her props. Rose is like defied Dana White, defied the UFC establishment, just sort of spit in their face and kept on going. Right on, she's a champion at 115, and she's taking on Zhang Wei. Zhang Wei comes to us from the People's Republic of China. People across the pond will be watching this big time. You see what Dana's doing? Dana's doing what boxing was doing with Canelo Alvarez. Canelo was fighting guys from Europe. So in other words, people would stay up in Europe or watch a fight at 6 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning over there in Europe and like flock to the bars and all that kind of good stuff because their guy was fighting. And yet on this side of the pond, we had Canelo Alvarez getting everybody to go turn on the pay-per-view crank. So that's a double crank as far as the UFC is concerned in this fight tonight. Wish him the very best of luck as far as the UFC is concerned. Wink, wink. Yeah. Anyway, Dana White, as I said, not my favorite guy. The rest of the card, bunch of no-names. I wish him the very best of luck. In fact, I don't see anybody here I know that stands out on this card. It's coming to us from the MSC, Madison Square Garden, the big arena, and they'll probably do a good sellout. Of course, the last time they fought there, it was Nate Diaz and, I can't think of the guy's name right now. Anyway, they ended up giving the guy that won, he made $500,000. They gave him a $50,000 bonus. The live gate for that card was something like $7.5 million. Okay, and the guy got $500,000 and he got a $50,000 bonus? Oh, boy, Dana really took care of him, huh? No doubt about that. And then again, you know, you've got guys like John Jones willing to sit out their career, willing to give up their prime, willing to give up their prime in order to get away from Dana White. Just the way it is. Bottom line is, Dana, of course, has been the figurehead of the UFC since, of course, he came out here when Whitey Bulger, the guy from the Boston Mafia, went in and threatened Dana White. Dana White was running some hobo boxing gym in East Boston, West Boston, something like that, the poor side of Boston. And Whitey Bulger's gang came to him and said, Dana White, you got to pay us $2,500 a month in protection money. Dana said to him, hey, guys, I can give you $25 a month, let alone $2,500 a month, or something like that. At least that's the way Dana puts it, how he stood up to Whitey and his boys, okay? We didn't stand up too long because it was before too long. He was on a one-way ticket. I don't know if he took a bus or a plane, but he one-way ticket to Las Vegas. The rest was history. Of course, he became partners with the Fertitta brothers. Of course, he was an employee of theirs, Lorenzo and Frank Fertitta. They owned a the Palace Station casinos in Las Vegas and the surrounding cities and this and that. So they were big in the money. They made their money in illegal Dallas area card clubs back in the 1950s. At least their parents did, and they took their act to Las Vegas. Of course, these guys are like billionaires, no doubt about it. But they made out like a bandit. They bought the USC for like $1.5 million. And get this, they sold it for $4.2 billion. That's $4,200 million. They sold the USC for $4,199 million more than what they paid for it. So you have to give them credit, the three of them, Dana White especially, because I think Dana turned down a couple of deals, or he was reluctant in a couple of deals that would have made him a little bit less money if they sold it to USC a couple of years earlier. But $4.2 billion, of course, this big entity that took it over, I guess they don't seem to be wanting to make any money real soon because they're not going to get a big pay. I've talked to people that know, you know, business and statistics and the economists, and they said there's no way that Dana and his people are going to make this money back for these people who invested $4.2 billion. So maybe they're in it for the long haul. What is the long haul? I don't know. Is the USC really that big around the world? Of course, they're building things in China. They've got things going in Korea. No, not the communist Korea, the other Korea. Of course, they got things going in the UK. They're trying to establish things in Ukraine and USSR and this and that. And, you know, the USC, you got to give them props as far as their marketing and their ability to take their product on the road. Of course, they were doing it in Florida for a long time when Governor DeSantis was saying, hey, there's no such thing as COVID. Wink, wink, come on down. Yeah, we found out that didn't work out too well. Anyway, at the end of the day, the UFC is not my favorite sport, but the bottom line is each and every week, I guess I have to bring it up to you to a certain extent. Now, Devin Haney, back to Devin Haney. Devin Haney's picking Caleb Plant tonight. Why is Devin Haney picking Caleb Plant? Because they're both of the, they're both with Snack. Snack is the sports nutrition for advanced conditioning, of course, brought to you by Victor Conti. I think it's some of the best products out there. I don't rap Victor. I question Victor sometimes because of the fact that that's my position. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to question people. I'm supposed to question things, question their ethics, question their tactics, this and that. But I can't question Victor's products because Victor's products are through the roof. They just are. I mean, you take this ZMA after your workout, and later in that day, as far as recovery is concerned, it's phenomenal. It just really is. I really like that ZMA. In fact, I think I might be ordering some. Wink, wink. Hey, Victor, you can send some to me, but the bottom line is that ZMA is the way to go. If you work out, and I'm starting, of course, to get back into it real heavily. I've been running 4 or 5 days a week now. Small amounts because it's hot out here. And when it's hot, I hate to run in. I hate to run in the sun. I hate to run in the sun. In fact, they used to try to get me to fight during the summertime. And I would say I would fight at the beginning of the summer. And then I would take these little tiny fights in the summertime that didn't require a whole lot of conditioning and being in the top of shape and this and going out. In other words, I would go down to the valley and fight guys and that were lesser than me. I do admit it. Bottom line is that's how Chris Gomez taught me how to fight. And that's how, this is the way it was. I went down there and I fought guys that were lesser than me, and that's sort of how I learned how to develop, some of the boxing skills that I had. And I wasn't that good. I was just good enough to win 4 Golden Glove titles and be ranked nationally in an Olympic year in the top 15. What can I say? That ain't too much, but I'm digging it. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. What you see is what you get. That's right. 24/7. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We're hoping to do, this is our first WBC TV. We're broadcasting and taping on a different camera for VTV. So we're hoping this rocks and rolls. We've got the camera moving around here. We'll see what happens. But the bottom line is we are rocking and rolling. And those of you watching on VTV, what's happening? This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
In 1995, medical marijuana became legal here in California, and I met a guy in 1996 who was selling medical marijuana out on Geary Boulevard by the name of Bernard. He was a rapper. He wanted to become a rapper. He said he was going to become famous. in the marijuana industry. And I sort of, yeah, okay. Bottom line is a couple years later, he started his own little cookie business. Cookies, as far as the marijuana business, and cookies is one of the top strains. It's a club. You've got cookie stores all over the country wherever marijuana is legal. You've got cookie stores there. Anyway, Berner, 37 years old, said to be worth more than $800 million, was diagnosed with colon cancer recently. He's going to have some surgery. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is that, you know, he didn't take care of himself medically. I mean, you know, if you go get colonoscopies and things like that, he's 37 years old. Nobody would thought he would get them at that point in time. But if you're showing signs, stomach aches, this kind of good stuff, lower intestinal problems and this and that, you need to go to a doctor. You just can't ignore it. He may be ignored a little bit too long, and now he's got to have surgery. So we wish him the very best of luck. Of course, Berner's the king when it comes to weed, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA, not weed. Of course, tonight, Canelo Alvarez is going to destroy Caliplan, I think inside of probably 9 rounds. I give him 7 or 8 maybe to let it go. Of course, Caliplan will come out. He will try to assert himself, try to impose his will as well he should, and he will try and he will fail. That's just simply the way it's going to go down tonight. He will try and he will fail. I want to wish him the very best of luck as far as his future is concerned. He will have a lot of money to spend, and hopefully his health will be good as well. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You've been listening to the longest-running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I'm laughing because there's all kinds of crazy things happening here in the studio. But don't forget, we have a Sunday show, Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time. 2 hours on Sunday. We'll talk about Caliplan, his demise, and Canelo Alvarez, of course, the victor. I expect that to happen. But tomorrow morning, we'll have both the winner and the loser here on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, live on these same channels. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Don't forget, Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, Ring Talk.